You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Vankas?
Hello, Vankas.
Guten Tag, Vankas.
Oh, yeah, we got Jenny on the pod, dragging her kicking and screaming into this podcast.
Yes, dragging me from my full-time 9-to-5 where I manage a team of five. Yep.
Yep. Dragging her through the glass ceiling of her own making. That's right.
We wanted Jenny to be on this episode. We wanted Jenny to be, we were like, hey, Jenny, do you want to be on this episode? She was like, I don't know. I think it'd be better if you guys did it. We were like, Jenny, come on the episode. Come on.
Wait a minute. Like I told you before, I look out for quality. I thought your dynamic last ep was mwah, chef kiss. So, you know, want to keep going, but I always enjoy being here. Happy to be here. The people apparently are happy I'm here. So hello. I'm back.
I love the quality of the things you have to say, but the quality of the sound in which you say them is atrocious and makes me want to jump out of my one-story apartment.
Wow, so. This is news to me, so I'll make that note. Thank you.
For the listeners, just if you hear a little background music, a little background noise, just know that there, you know, I do live in an apartment that has a music studio in the basement. I'm not recording this podcast in that music studio. There is actually some, you know, there's a band down there playing some music. So if you hear something going on in the background, that's what it is. Fucking deal with it. We're the red flags. We're here to not do things the normal way. We're here to be the groundbreakers. So yeah, background noise.
And if you hear banging on my end, that's because my building's under new management and they are like being total assholes and everyone's moving out and they're gutting every apartment. And basically just dying for people to move out so they can like renovate and jack up the prices. But I'm a fucking cockroach and I'm not going fucking anywhere because we got in at pandemic prices. And yeah.
And if you hear shit on my end, it's just because the mic is total shit, according to Brian and Matt. So.
Well, she has the. We all know that Jenny uses the Yeti when she records this podcast, and we don't support the Yeti because the Yeti's the Ferrari of microphones. It might have the branding, but honey. When it comes for the last decade and plus, it ain't been the fucking one, even though it's looking like maybe it's going to be the one this year, but I'm not sure. But before we get into that, you know who else isn't going? You know, it's like Matt's not going away from his apartment, and we got to give it out to fucking Zelensky, because Zelensky's not going away.
Fellow Jew.
Hold on. I just want to say that what's going on is like really serious.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible thing, and it's like one of the worst, you know, geopolitical events that's happened in recent memory. You know, it's invading Poland vibes.
Yeah.
And it's serious, but you guys don't obviously come on here to listen to that, you know?
Right.
We know that it's serious. It's not funny at all.
No.
But, you know, you guys come on here to have fun, so we're going to try to, and it does affect F1, and while the situation in Ukraine is not funny at all, isn't funny, what is funny is that thinking about how Gunther Steiner has to deal with it, that is just objectively hilarious. That Gunther Steiner has to deal with, you know, basically an ex-mechanic is dealing with one of the most complex geopolitical crises, you know, in recent memory is insane.
Well, yeah, the fact that a global conflict is starting and the entire F1 world looks to Gunther Steiner for what his next move is.
Can I say maybe like the president of Ukraine, who I feel has risen to as an actor turned president. Maybe this mechanic, after seasons and seasons, may may eventually, I say that now and then I'm thinking he's Michael Scott.
The thing about Zelensky, not to get too political into the conflict, but the thing about Zelensky is Ukraine had such a corruption problem,
right,
that they elected a comedian because he was the only person that they believed wouldn't be corrupt. Like he was an outsider. I mean, you know, so that's why he won. It wasn't because people are stupid. I mean, you could argue that people are stupid, and that's why but they have a real corruption problem in Ukraine, and democracy is new there. So he actually seems to be like quite, he seems impressive from what I've seen. So anyway, kind of iconic when Putin calls him a Nazi and he's like, I'm Jewish. I don't even know how that's possible.
That's nuts. But yeah, Gunther's having a week.
Yeah. So he went, he jumped out of bed with rich energy and then into bed with a Russian oligarch.
Right.
Right.
And then, you know, 11 days before, I think, the invasion of Ukraine, Nikita Mazepin's dad was having, like, a working lunch with Putin.
He was there this week.
Am I correct,
week.
Jenny?
He was there this was, week at a business right. leaders meeting. So, yeah. Yeah.
I love working lunch. So, Dmitry Mazepin, yeah, what are you working on? Yeah, I'm acquiring some companies illegally. What are you doing? Ah, nothing. Nothing. Just send some emails, you know, like that is nuts to me. And it's interesting because, you know, they asked Nikita Mazepin about it. And of course he goes, you know, I just like race. I just like sports. You know, I don't want to, you know, politics. Why are we going to bring politics into this? And that is like a classic, like your most problematic uncle. Oh, why you got to bring politics into this?
Right.
Why you got to make everything political? It's always the guy with the worst political takes. It's never somebody with like good politics that's like, oh, yeah, we're bringing in politics. We're bringing in politics. And what's so infuriating about Nikita Mazepin is it's like, dude, you wouldn't be in the sport if your dad wasn't best friends with Vladimir Putin.
Right.
Like, the reason you're doing the sport is because of fucking politics.
Like, right. Your very existence is political.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
A literal political hire. A literal political
if
hire.
If Lewis Hamilton wanted to be like, hey, I just want to race. Like he doesn't do that, but he could do that because he's actually like there just because of his ability.
Right.
And not for politics.
And it's, and it's the Nikita Mazepins of the world that are like, Lewis is always talking about politics. He's always droning on and on about politics. Yes. And it's like, yeah, well, your dad is a Russian oligarch who's best friends with fucking Putin, who placed you into a seat because he owns a company that is fucking... What even is that company?
I think it's a mining company.
It's chemicals. It's I don't know, but you know, because he's friend, like he can acquire things because he. It's like it's a kleptocracy. It's corrupt. It's you know you can hey you're gonna sell me this company, or right. I'm going to you know you're gonna be arrested. Like so he you know Dmitry Mazepin acquires shares in companies through sort of. Means that are, you know, like not for what their market share is, you know, it's completely corrupt over there. And it's all about like your proximity to Putin. That's it.
For safety reasons, do we have to say allegedly?
Yeah. I mean, to Nikita Mazepin's defense, even if he did have a problem with the war in Ukraine, I don't think he does, but even if he did, I mean, could he speak out? I mean, no. I mean, he'd be fucked.
No. No, definitely
right.
not.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that he would be fucked.
He could. Yeah.
He could.
Yeah, but he's like, but his dad's co-signing it.
He
so
could never go back to Russia. Like, that's the trade-off.
He can't go against the the family line.
No, but there would be like real reprisals. Like he doesn't live in a free, like he's not free to criticize.
Right. No, no, no.
No, there would be repercussions. Yeah.
I'm not giving him the Benny of the D here. I'm just saying, hypothetically, if he wanted to be critical, it would come at a humongous cost to him and his family.
Yeah, so if you, you know, for those of you who don't know, Russia invaded Ukraine. Everyone knows.
They took the Uralkai off. Yeah, yes.
So the Uralkai is out. They are no longer the Haas sponsor, which is a big deal for Haas because that's where the money has been coming from. And it also means that Nikita Mazepin's future is now uncertain because...
Well, they might just want him based on his driving ability. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But what I loved is they just went out in the white livery. They took the Uralkai, and it reminded me so much of it was so Talladega Nights. Remember when he goes out and he's got no sponsors?
Right.
And it's just the cougar, and it's just like me. It's like
right.
I'm just racing as me. It was
What's ME? What company's that? It's like, no, it's me, because it's just you out there.
F1 made a statement too on Russia, so they made an interestingly worded statement because it's a statement they can 100% walk back on. So if you'll indulge me, I'd like to read the statement about the Russian GP. So they said, the FIA Formula One World Championship visits countries all over the world with a positive vision to unite people, bringing nations together. We are watching the developments in Ukraine with sadness and shock and hope for a swift and peaceful resolution to the present situation. On the Thursday evening, Formula One, the FIA, and the teams discussed the position of our sport, and the conclusion is, including the view of all relevant stakeholders, that it is impossible to hold the Russian Grand Prix in the current circumstances. End quote.
I'm here for it. I mean, it was quick. They did it fast.
If it changes, if they're like, if anything, you know, if Russia's like, if God, you know, it would be incredible if Russia's like, we're out, Ukraine, you put up such a fight. Yep, we are bad. We're out. They could immediately be like, oh, circumstances change. Sochi back on the calendar. Like, that's how it's worded.
There was also, they released statements like before they canceled it where they were like, we're watching the situation very carefully. It's got like very like PR, like this is a very complex issue. We're watching it very carefully. We're processing this, you know, taking time to, you know.
Right. We're watching the tanks roll across the border.
Yeah. We're processing the missiles. This is very complex, very troubling. Don't really know how to feel about this just yet. Just blah, 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 blah. Biding fucking time. Just not keeping it fucking real.
Just now, binoculars on Haas, looking what they're doing with Uralkai.
Yes.
They see them. Pull the sticker off. They have a corner of the sticker. They go, release the press release.
Haas is just legendary because did you guys fucking know that
I'm so ready.
It's just never ending because did you guys know that Gene Haas went to prison?
Oh, no. this is a new podcast. This is a new, stop everything, drop everything. No.
Gene Haas went to prison. So on June 19th, 2006, Gene Haas was arrested by the IRS agents for investigation of filing false tax returns, witness intimidation, and conspiracy. Four others were indicted together with Haas, all of whom pleaded guilty. Just before Haas's case was to go to trial, a plea agreement was reached, whereby he would plead guilty to felony conspiracy to commit tax evasion. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison and ordered to pay $75 million in restitutions. Haas was incarcerated beginning January 2008 and was released on probation May 7, 2009 after serving 16 months of his two-year sentence.
Oh, my God.
They never mentioned this shit in Drive to Survive. Like, forget Rich Energy and like, fucking their team sucking. This guy went to prison for tax evasion and witness intimidation. This guy's a fucking gangster. This guy can handle the pressure. We're wondering why Gene can sit there as Gunther's like, yeah, we're fucking Gene. You know, we were almost fifth. We're almost fifth, Gene. Like, we wonder why Gene can just handle this. It's because Gene's been to prison. And everything after that is just roses.
I have two questions. One, yes. Why is Gunther not more scared of Gene? And two, do we think Gene has any prison tats?
He's got a honey badger on his fucking calf, like, from his daddy in prison.
But witness intimidation?
That's wild.
Witness intimidation.
Wow.
And Gunther Steiner is like, you're telling me, Gene? Fucking no. We were almost 10th. We almost had points, Gene.
They do. Have
and slower, Gene, we'd be going fucking backwards. And Gene's like, I could have this guy whacked.
Yes.
And in the fucking Black Sea.
I mean, Gene is making a shank at craft services at the booth. Yeah. Like, he's like whittling down one of the plastic knives. Like, what? Anyway,
listen, Gene knows pressure.
Yeah.
Gene is Jason Bateman in fucking Ozark. He can fucking handle the fucking pressure. Anyway.
With this knowledge that Uralkali is out, that means that Haas is now left with a hole in terms of their investments. And I think it would be a fucking badass little move for some American company to get in there and start funding Haas as a kind of statement of solidarity with our allies in NATO. And we could, you know, it's like, well, you know, you're out and this is an opportunity. American companies, I know that a lot of CEOs listen to this podcast. And I just want to say that this is your opportunity to get in there and make Haas a true American team and make that red, white, and blue stand for something different than it has been the last couple of years.
So when they come in last place, they're coming in last place as an American team.
That's absolutely right.
Fuck yeah.
All right, so let's move on from World War III, and
please.
There's been a bunch of stuff that's happened. Some of the stuff, you know, we haven't fully commented on, and we want to talk about some of the car launches, and some of the antics at these car launches.
But I have to pee. Can I pee?
Yeah.
Okay, we're taking a break.
Okay, Matt's back. He had to go take a piss, but he's back. He's got the flag behind him now, and we're ready to talk about these car launches. So, all right, which ones are the ones that we actually give a shit about because we're slutty little fans who live for the drama?
Well, I was at quote unquote Aston Martin in
right.
my mind,
yep.
you know, because we weren't invited this year, you know, despite the fake invite. But next year in Woking, as they say. As we say every Passover.
I gotta say, I kind of don't want to be. I don't want to be invited. Can I say, I don't want to be invited. We're an independent. We like the second you're invited, you have to toe the company line. And the only way that I'm gonna toe the company line is as a joke, and until someone pays me a lot of money to do it. And you know, Ferrari, I'll toe the company line when Ferrari pays us $90 million to stop this podcast.
I was saying, I think I had more fun making up the event I wanted to go to. So, yeah.
That's right.
I'll do it again next year.
Well, let's talk about the Aston launch first. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that Lawrence Stroll has gotten as far as he has in life being that bad at public speaking is just staggering.
Impressive.
I mean, he cannot read. I mean, he's reading from a teleprompter. He goes, Aston Martin is going into the future with a lot of confidence. And, you know, it's going to be a long climb and a tough climb, but we are in this together. And then there's this host that asks him a question like, so tell us about this. So are you excited about this new technology center? He goes, yes, we are. This technology center will bring lots and lots of fresh new innovations. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is insane. Now, I will say, and then there was this crazy laser show. A lot of these launches did a lot. I got to say my favorite launch was actually the Ferrari launch. I don't know if any of you saw the Ferrari launch.
That was one of the ones I didn't watch, but yeah.
There was no pomp and circumstance. It was just Binotto standing there in a blazer in like what looked like a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like red lasers behind him. And then he was like, hello, I am Binotto. I am here for the launch. Like no crowd, nothing. And he goes, hey, Charles, Carlos, you want to come? And then they come out. They're like, hello. And they're like, here's the fucking car. Suck our dicks. They're just walking around the car. There's no fanfare, nothing. He goes, yes, you see, this is the side pod. We did something interesting here. And he goes, oh, yes, that is my favorite part of the car. Yes, I have very high hopes for this part of it. And they're just kind of like, yeah, this is a fucking car. Suck our dicks. We're going to win. You know? Just like no pomp and circumstance. Nothing. And it was like, that's like, you're not compensating for fucking anything. This is our fucking car. Deal with it. We'll see you on the track, bitch.
Wow, you sound like a Ferrari fan.
No, I mean, I think they suck, but when they do something good, I'll tell you. I like the confidence in which they put no effort into their car launch. They're not compensating for shit.
Wow, this is a moment in time. Mark your calendars, put it in the date. This will be the yearly time where Matt said something nice about Ferrari. But you know what? I gotta say, I agree. Not necessarily as much as like the car, but I'm thinking that Ferrari's gonna be maybe that bitch this year. And we'll see, because you know that winter on the final day of winter testing, which we'll get to, Mercedes kind of edged that out, you know, as much as you can even really pay attention to these times. But Ferrari is looking good, and I'm digging the moves that were made by Ferrari. I mean, this car, they took a risk, they took a chance, and if it pays off, I won't be mad if it pays off.
I think Ferrari's going to have a hot girl season.
They're going to have a hot girl season.
Hot girl season. Ferrari. This is based on nothing technical.
No, it's expertise. Just, it's expertise.
My expertise in feeling and vibe, you know.
So while Ferrari maybe didn't do that much for their car launch, Alpine took a different approach. They took a different approach to their car launch. Alpine out here doing the most, doing a what was the Jabberwocks? Wasn't that the dance group?
Oh my god.
The Jabberwockies. The Jabberwockies.
Oh my god, yeah.
Alpine called
in Blue Man.
Yeah, yeah. Alpine called in the bootleg Jabberwocky Blue Man group.
It would be like Le Groupe de l'Homme Bleu.
Yeah. what's blue in French?
Bleu.
Who gives a shit?
Bleu.
Yeah, that was insane. I don't know like what anyone was it's like, were they doing that simply for Twitter to make fun of? I mean, it's like, what the fuck were they even thinking with that? Back in the day, they used to do like, they would do like concerts and shit for the car launches. They did some wild stuff.
Really?
Back in the
like
day.
Full,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like guests? Like there's guest like, acts?
They would do like, well, this is also in the times of COVID. So they're like in like a fucking like room, you know, a hermetically sealed room where no one can get in or get out. But like back in the day, like they would do like, they would have like fucking like, you know, the hot band of the day, like Blink 182 or fucking like the Spice Girl. I think one time the Spice Girls did a concert and the fucking McLaren car is like in the back of the stage.
That's fucking sick.
Wait, because in my fake Aston Martin, my fake real Aston Martin thing, the Spice Girls made a cameo, and there was a French mime, which wasn't too far from the Cirque du Bleu, whatever, Illuminati. so many triangles at Alpine. I think there's some Illuminati L plan, whatever Alonso has going on there. There's something.
Okay, I found it. In 1997, the West McLaren Mercedes team launch, the Spice Girls did a fucking concert. It was on MTV, and in the back of in the background of the Spice Girls singing and dancing on stage, there's a fucking Formula One car on a fucking platform.
That's fucking sick.
Wait, so these are like car up fronts. That's what this is.
Exactly, exactly.
It's a car up front. Okay. Yeah.
Why does it Mercedes or like if Alfa Romeo launched their car and just had Kanye just rapping in front of the Alfa Romeo, that would immediately become my favorite car of that season. That would be so. Set anything to Kanye, any trailer to Kanye is just a, I'm seeing that movie. Have you noticed that? The Wolf of Wall Street trailer is the greatest trailer of all time.
What's the song that they use for that?
What were we doing? Was legal? Was it legal? Absolutely fucking not. A theme song, you know, whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
thank you to everyone screaming at us right now. Thank you. We hear your answers.
And then Jarhead movie, which wasn't.
Right, they
My
had Jesus
favorite?
Walks. Yeah, yeah.
They had Jesus Walks, and I'm like, can I break into the fucking studio and see that movie right now? Jesus Walks! I'm like, this is the best movie of all time, clearly.
Well, okay, so what are the other notable, I mean, you know, the launches, what else is of note of the launches?
Oh, here's so the thing, I think, Matt, totally agree. I hate when these teams are giving you the management first, then the car. I'm like, show us what we came for. Just don't, I don't need the BS up top. Like, I can't, we came here for the car. So yeah, we had to deal a little bit with that with Aston. Then we got the car. Williams was like, just like the Ferrari. Williams was like, what's his name? Jos came out then, Latifi and Albon. And then it was the car. And it was like very quick. On the other hand, we had McLaren, who basically introduced every team. It was like, and now the launch of the new seats of our E team. And I was like, when are we going? I'm looking at the clock. They're like going through like curling team, extreme team. They're going through every fucking team to get to that car. And then finally, I mean, my heart was ripped out of my chest when I saw the car. So it was a lot of lead up till nothing. But yeah, I'm trying to.
It looks better on the track, I would say, though, that car.
It does. I like it on the track because it looks kind of like more accent color-y. And it feels more neon now that I see it. Like, it feels like brighter.
What it looks like on the track is it looks kind of like almost like bubbly. Like, it kind of looks like it looks like a wasp. It looks like a wasp that's going to fucking come and like fucking like sting your ass.
Like I said on Twitter, these cars have never motivated me more to get a BBL. Like, thin
waist.
What's
a BBL?
Like, it's looking gone. That would be a Brazilian butt lift. And it's a procedure where they remove fat from the abdomen area and insert it in the buttocks region.
It's amazing because it's like, if you can dream it, you can do it, because it's like that's where everyone wants their fat. It's like everyone just wants to take their fat from their belly, put it in their ass. Men, women, gender nonconformings, they, thems, doesn't matter. Most people want less fat on your belly and more fat on the butt, and it's amazing what the people can do. And that's what that is our stance on the 22 cars, is that they've all had BBL surgery and they're all looking tasty. Most notably, fucking Ferrari's looking tasty like that. But I think
Ferrari's looking.
Oh yeah.
Those hips don't lie. That with that Ferrari car.
Okay, so let's talk about this winter testing just happened.
I can sing too.
And
oh no, Brian. No, Brian. It's not official.
Oh wait, so
tested.
What does that mean?
It's called a shakedown. It's called a fucking shakedown. What you got?
So
what
is
you
there,
got?
So
what you got?
So
your what, fucking
when
cup?
Is winter testing?
Next.
I think
next,
it's in Bahrain.
Okay,
Bahrain.
Like right before Bahrain. The Grand Prix.
So basically I want to start out with by saying that all the cars, you know, finally Red Bull was hiding their shit. And then they whip out their floor. They got this floor that looks like my Ford Fiesta after it got clipped. You know, it's got, you know what I mean? It's like all contorted looking. But that's what they were hiding. And they're finally like, here's our dick. Like, we're finally going to whip it out. But what I think is so funny is that, like, I understand why Red Bull's like hiding their shit, because like they got Adrian Newey like drawing up some crazy plays. But like Alfa Romeo, they got their camo, like no one can see what we're working on. I mean, that's fucking to think, like that's the dumb kid thinking people are cheating off him in the test.
Yeah.
Like, no one's cheating off you, dude. Brian, you cheated a lot. Growing up,
yes,
you know what? You were never afraid anyone's cheating off you.
I if they honestly, yeah, if they were, I felt sorry for them. I'd be like, damn, you cheating off me?
When we were in middle school, we had this really annoying geography test where we had to draw the whole world. It was the most crazy. We had to draw the world from scratch, like, and we were judged based on our accuracy along longitudinal and latitudinal lines.
Yeah,
it
you
was
had to
really
know. You
hard
had to know
in seventh grade.
Yeah, you had to know every country and the capital, and you had to draw it out. This was like our like big assignment.
Every country
in the world,
on the globe.
And you had like you were
and
you
every,
studying
and every
capital
couple of
weeks.
And the capital
every
of every country.
Country.
You had to know what the capital was and where it was, and you had to draw and we studied it for the year.
And
you
had
to
draw
it.
Wow.
So
and I'm drawing. I'm every year, every couple of weeks, you did a new continent, and I'm doing South America, trying to do. It hits this longitudinal line, and then it dips down, and fucking Chile is Santiago, and you got to know where each, and you get graded on this shit. And I remember walking into the library because I had to get something, and I just see Brian sitting in the corner of the library drawing. He's got a fucking atlas open, and he's like, said it, and he's just drawing. He's just like, he's literally got like almost like tracing paper out, and he's just straight up just not a care in the world, just nailing it. I mean, this guy cheated. This guy fucking cheated.
Did you remember to like to make it a little wrong?
Oh yeah.
So it's like,
oh yeah.
Wouldn't suspect.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how to. I know what I'm fucking doing.
Okay.
You know the guy. See, I wasn't good at math. You know the guy who you know who to cheat on, and it's not the Alfa Romeo in the class, it's the Mercedes in the class. The Mercedes in our class was this guy, permission to get a little crude here, Jenny. Permission?
Sure. Permission granted.
I'm gonna change his name slightly. Okay. His name was, we called him 9-inch Nicky.
Okay.
And we always cheated on 9-inch Nicky. Okay. And
the reason he's literally a rocket scientist now.
Okay,
and he had a huge Nicky had a huge dicky, and we would cheat off of it because he was really good at math. I famously would.
Well, the thing is, he always had these mesh. He would only wear mesh shorts.
Yeah,
and he was always like half chubbed, and we'd always like see his half chubbed dick, and we'd always call him 9-inch Nicky, and he was such a nerd that he'd be like, "Stop, it's normal," and we're like, "No, it's fucking huge," and he'd be like, "No, it's not, it's normal," and we're like, "Why are you fighting us?
We're trying to gas you up.
And
we're talking about
go with it."
Like, we're the best bullies ever. I wish I'd be bullied like this. And then my mom, like, it got back to my mom, and my mom's like, I hear you're bullying Nikki. Stop bullying him. We're like, we're saying he's got a huge dick. We're being nice. Like, I don't understand.
This reverse bullying is the funniest concept to me.
We're the nut, like, bullying. This is amazing. We're awesome. Also, stop wearing mesh shorts. It's literally like swinging around. Everybody
and
knows.
And it's like December. It's December.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the guys, he was a kid who wore shorts even if it was like there was snow on the ground.
Oh, does he do like flip-flops?
Not flip-flops, like, but just like ready to play basketball. Okay. Not like flip-flops implies like I don't give a fuck. Like I'm just like fucking who gives a fuck? No, it's like I just like no, I'm wearing shorts. I'm fucking wearing shorts. So, you know, that's who you want to cheat off of. Meanwhile, yeah. I'm the alpha. I'm fucking the, you know, what's the even the fucking name of the team? I don't even Alfa Romeo. I'm the Alfa Romeo in the fucking I'm the Alfa Romeo thinking that everyone's cheating off of me when, yeah, no one gives a shit. Your camo. And it's guess what? It's like the camo. We can see what we can see what the car looks like. Also, if we're talking about like. Let's talk about how fucking shitty they did during this first round. I mean, for the Alfa Romeos and the Haases of the fucking world who had all of 2021 to get their 2022 cars ready and right in collapse. It's like they barely got any laps over the 3 days. They like the car kept breaking. The car kept breaking down for both of them. It's like this is you had the whole year, and now you have a fucking leaking. You have a leak in the engine. It's like what the fuck.
Now I know I got they got the camo because they want them to know to not know what not to do.
Right.
That's why they got the camo. But you know, and Alpine shit the bed too. They had the whole L plan. Alpine had a lot of engine trouble.
Yeah.
Alpine had a lot of engine trouble too. The losers in testing was Alpha, Alpine,
Haas,
and you know, honestly, Aston
on the last day. Yeah. Seb had to bail.
And I want to say something. It's interesting. Vettel was like, "Oh, not to go back to the Ukraine, but really quick, we missed some things." Vettel said he wouldn't go.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the FIA was still trying to make their decision. Vettel, in his just progressive woke, just like calling it as he sees it, just like, I'm out. I'm fucking out. I will not be taking my talents to Sochi. Like, just way ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting is Max, like, Vettel's like, I'm not going. And then Max actually was like the next person, and Max was like, we shouldn't be going. Which was good that he said that, but he didn't actually say he wouldn't go because, and I think it's interesting to like, would Vettel actually not go if he had a championship winning car? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, I think it's like,
Wait, do you mean Matt? Do you mean Max? You said Vettel.
No, Vettel.
No. Max, Vettel knows he doesn't have a chance to win a championship, so he's just saying, I'm not going.
Right. Sorry.
Max is like, Max does have a championship aspirations, and he's like, we shouldn't go. And I think this goes to speak about how Vettel used to be kind of a dick. And now that this is sort of a theme, you know, Alonso's kind of nicer now, right? Mm. Now that he's not like these guys, you know, it's sort of the Kobe thing. Like they get nicer as they get older because they realize, and Michael Schumacher is the same way. As they get older, they're like, I'm going to be a little bit nicer. I'm going to be the nice guy. And it's funny because like, I feel like Max's attitude of where they should race is like, is Lewis going to be there? You know?
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, like, Max is like Max we will... shouldn't go. Like, all of us. All of us.
Equal points. Yeah. Equal points. Everyone gets
He's
zero.
He's like, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're all not going. We're all like, yep. You know? We're not all, no, all of us shouldn't go because...
Max would race on the fucking Death Star if Lewis was going. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would...
Okay, yeah.
But it's nice. It's nice.
I was impressed
that
Max spoke out. I was not expecting. I mean, you know, like that's, you know, Max is someone who kind of feels like he just kind of, he's like, I care about the racing. I'm not into all this other shit. And for Max to be one of the earliest people I saw being, you know, calling it out and saying that they shouldn't be going to Sochi, I was impressed. But now he's got the, you know, it's like maybe there's a side of Max. It's like, you know, I don't think that if you're watching the early days of Sebastian Vettel and you're watching him be the flirt that he was, we got sent a clip of Vettel flirting and it's wild. He was out there. He was out there laying down he was laying the hit on. And then as he gets older, he starts like hitting on men in a way that feels like, oh, this is just like, this is cute and fun and more harmless. But yeah, Vettel was a fucking ornery dick, cocky dick when he was like in that championship position. But then he's had this whole, you know, emotional glow up into this, you know, new bound person. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that's a little bit of what's in the future for Max. I don't really think he's definitely not going to become a Vettel, but I think him saying this from the position of like, I also think that like once you have established yourself as like, I'm one of those, I'm a main bitch now. Like I used to be, I was trying to like be, you know, on that little Mount Rushmore, but like now I'm like, I am. My words mean something now because I'm world champion. So he's, you know, taking that into consideration maybe in a way that I don't think he would have a couple of years ago. It's like when he was on his way up, hadn't won a world championship, I don't think he's going to be like the second person coming out like telling F1 what they should do. But now that he's like, okay, like I'm at the fucking big boys table now. I have a responsibility. Hold my dick. Drink. Hold my beer.
Yeah, I mean, this. We had a hot take that is related to this, where Ellen, she says, hi, my name is Ellen. I'm 20, Swedish, and I'm fucking tired. I'm fucking tired. I know there was a hot take some episodes ago about Sebastian Vettel doing the bare minimum now, and someone was upset about that. That is not what this is. I love Sebastian Vettel, and now that he's an activist and all, that's cute. But I'm sorry, does nobody remember the four-time world champion Vettel? He was a flirt, and he was a bit of a douche, she wrote in all caps. and he was, not so fucking nice, but had the most wins in one season ever. That's like hot. And now, sure, he's older now, blah, 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 but don't forget the man he was. And I know my red podcast duo did not have the blessing of seeing this man in his bad boy days, and she has some flattering pictures of him looking smoldering. And I mean, and she goes, I mean, he was no Charles Leclerc in his days, blessed with looks, but he was blessed with charm, talent, and some good picks. My hot take is that Sebastian Vettel was a hot bad boy, and don't forget it. Good.
Yeah, that's a good hot take, and we should probably that's a good segue into talking about drivers' looks, and someone who talked about that recently.
Oh, get after it, Jenny!
Okay.
All right,
okay.
let's
Jenny get go in there, Queen.
Fucking take him down, Queen. Fucking yeah.
Oh, she's literally cracked her.
She
knuckles.
Cracked her knuckles. In she this cracked. Corner, Jenny Sue Birnbaum. In that corner, Christian Christian Order. The battle of the genders is here on the Red Flags podcast. Who's gonna take it to the top? Who's gonna take it to the top? All right, let's. Yeah, I guess let's get into fucking Christian foot in his little mouth Horner.
foot in his big mouth Horner. So, as a proud Drive to Survive mm-hmm. fan. I came into the sport. I got hooked because I found the racing exhilarating. And I can also appreciate that these drivers look really attractive. I can do multiple things at once. I can have multiple appreciations. It's kind of like this podcast. It's like, I don't care how you've come to this podcast, why you've come to this podcast, I'm fucking glad that you're here. He should be so happy that people are here. And also the fact that most people are here for the sport. His assumption that they've just come for the looks and that it's women that have come for the looks is just, you know, it's plain old misogyny. And hun, that's getting old. It's over. It's over. It's done. We've had enough. And like Ellen, I'm tired. I'm tired.
Jenny, do you? I have a question for you. Do you think that Christian's telling on himself a little bit? Like, that's why he likes the sport?
You mean he's like, people like the sport. Women like the sport because they're some good looking driver. You mean,
yeah, do you think that Christian's kind of saying it's like when your friend, it's like, yeah, I have a friend. My friend is, you know, my friend is, he thinks that he actually likes to look at the pictures of the drivers to go to sleep. That's what women do, right? Women like to look at pictures of Max before they go to sleep, right? That's what you girls do, right? That's, I think
right?
that's
100%. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's some water there. Oh.
So what did you lost me? We were talking about. Sorry about that. We were talking about Christian.
Christian. I went on my rant, and then you asked me if he was if it was a veiled thing for how he finds the drivers, and I said absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's over. It's over just being like women like hot guys. That's over. That's done. It's passé.
Yeah, and what needs to be in there now is that men like hot guys. And you know what?
And non-binary people.
That's
now,
right.
Everyone's welcome to like everyone.
And everyone can like fucking hot guys. I think that them being hot is a plus. And it's what draws. I think it's an aspect of what it drew me in.
It doesn't
draws
keep
you
there.
In, but it doesn't keep you there. It doesn't hold you there. It just
didn't even like bring me in. What brought me in was the Cyril Christian engine drama. That's what hooked me. That was like, I was like, this is incredible. This is incredible. I was on the edge of my seat for the races. I'm not watching fucking 2 hours on 8 a.m. at like Sunday morning to watch the top of a helmet because I'm like, oh my man, I'm putting this in the bank for later. Like, come on. Like, just have some sense, buddy. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Christian is a reality television star, and I don't think that he really wants to accept that. And I want to see him at a reunion with Andy, whatever the fuck his name is. What's his name?
Cohen.
Andy Cohen.
Cohen. He should go in the clubhouse.
I wanna do Watch What Happens Live with Cyril and Christian and Toto, and they could do a reunion episode, and Toto and Susie Wolf can call him a misogynist. Yeah, Christian, just, you know, unnecessary comment. Wild take, not even wild take. Actually, like the most boring take that you could also like. It's like the most boring thing that you could say. The most like boilerplate. Just like, yeah, well, that must be the only reason. No room for that here, Christian. Listen to the Red Flags podcast for once and fucking educate yourself.
We also got a hot take from that crackpot John.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
They were, you know, they had a few shots that were fired at us that I won't even justify on this podcast because they had a bunch of notes. We're not getting into it. Fuck you, John. I'm not giving you a platform to spew hatred about us. But they said, also, my reactions in order to Christian Horner saying, girls are getting into F1 for the good-looking drivers. Bullet point one, man, shut the fuck up. Bullet point two, Christian, you don't have the range to even begin to understand the ways in which I objectify these men. Bullet point three, bold of him to open his mouth when he's constantly looking for a step stool tall enough for him to reach Toto's dick. Boom.
Whoa. I would drop the Yeti, but like I'm already scared as is with the quality.
Yeah,
so,
it's already shot on the built, so don't do that.
But mic drop on that one, yeah.
Yeah, I think John is a woman.
I think
I think we've just eliminated half the population. She lives in the population that identifies as female, so We're on to you, John.
We're on to you, John. That's a piping hot take. That's a piping hot take.
I wish we had a button. I need to get a soundboard for us. That's my next thing.
We do need a soundboard.
Any other hot takes? Yes, we have another hot take that we have here from Michael that we should read.
Hi, Michael.
George Russell in Mercury is hotter than the silver livery. The red intake looks so out of place, like a nipple. the red thing does look weird. Lando with fastest lap is foreshadowing a world championship title 100%.
Let's go!
That is a hot take.
Let's go! Yes!
Fuck all the haters of the McLaren livery papaya forever. I hate how much I like the Ferrari livery, but still, fuck Ferrari.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Alpha should just stick with the digital camo at this point. It would be the most interesting thing they do all year. Yes! Okay, and this is where I want to stick to. This is a point I want to drill down on. Well, I'll say his last point, and then I'll say this point next. Mm-hmm. Seb continues to be a progressive legend and boycott the Russian GP, and then his second to last comment, which I want to finish on. Alpine should just lean into a cotton candy theme at this point. This is really crucial.
Yep.
Yep.
The Alpine livery is doing, they partner with BWT, and BWT is like, it's got to be pink, dog. It's got to be pink. If you want money, it's got to be fucking Pepto-Bismol fucking pink. And the thing about pink is Racing Point knew that if you go, you can't go half pink. You got to go. Okay, Jenny, permission to get crude for a second.
Always. Permission to get always.
Sexually crude.
Permission always granted. I'm giving you that. Okay. I'm from me. Yeah, I'm giving you that.
Going pink is like oral. You got to fully commit for it to be successful. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I agree. I just agree with that. Like, that's just a general. Just,
yeah, you agree,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Our mutual friend Emily Bryan, I was out with a friend of hers.
Yep.
And I remember she once told me, she was like, dude, if you're not breaking your nose, don't even bother. And I was like, you gotta fucking just go for it. Nobody wants to like feel that their partner's just like doing you a favor, you know? Yeah. That's how you gotta be with the pink. You just gotta fucking no holds barred, just go for it. You know? That same thing with racing. You know, you gotta think when you're down there, you gotta be like Senna. Like the second you don't go for a racing grab, you are no longer a race driver. Like that's how you are down there. It's all, you know, and it's hard on the neck. So it's a lot like race car driving.
That's true.
It's a lot like race car driving.
Oral and race car driving are literally the exact same thing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You got to be on the limit. But if you, by the way, you go too far, you can hurt somebody.
Yes. You got to know the limits.
Yes. You got to know the limits. Yes.
You got to know the limits of the equipment.
There's a reason they call it downforce, okay?
Right.
Downforce, okay?
Yes.
And it's all about handling the rear. It's all about good control.
Got to hit. And you know what? Sometimes it can get slippery out there.
Yeah.
You got to know when to put on the rubbers. There you go.
That's right.
That's it.
Yes.
Yes. Fuck yes. Title of.
Yes.
Okay. Just clip that and play that over and over for you to fucking go to sleep at night.
For your new calm app.
That's right.
I said that in the most aggressive voice.
I just want to see it all. You're right. All pink. Just go.
All
go
pink,
for bro.
Full pink.
And the car is one thing. The car is one thing. And I don't even mind aspects of the car that much. But those uniforms are brutal. The uniforms
gotta go
are brutal.
All
yes.
pink.
Especially when the car is
gotta
blue.
Gotta go all pink.
It's like the car is like, you know, they committed to the blue on the car. So like put them in straight up pink for the outfits.
Right.
But you know what they're thinking? They're like, well, we don't want to be confused with Racing Point. I'm like, oh, you mean the successful brand as opposed to Alpine? Like, what the fuck is Alpine? Alpine's nothing. Alpine, you came into existence last year. You're like a offshoot of Renault because Renault is kind of getting out of the Renault is like distancing itself. They're all over the place. I mean, fuck that, you know. And another livery take. We had another hot take here. The it's titled "Car Launch Mild Take."
Okay.
The Mercedes looks like a Louis Vuitton handbag, and I can't unsee that. Good take.
Yeah.
Good take.
I see it.
Good take.
Cute take. Yeah.
And yeah, so I think if you take away anything from this podcast, it's that you know, Ukraine is a complex situation, and racing a car is a lot like doing oral on your partner.
100%.
Yeah. And that men, women, and gender non-binary can appreciate the attractiveness of these talented individuals on the track.
100%. But I want to just say one thing about that, which is that, like, I know that a lot of fans of this podcast are only really fans because of how hot the three of us are. And I just want to say, I just want to say that that's perfectly okay.
We're okay with that.
I'm okay with you objectifying me. That's totally fine.
We are totally okay with you guys listening to us because of how hot we look.
Okay, Vankers, season is starting soon, boy, everyone.
Can you feel it?
We've got two more weeks until our fucking, we got two more weeks and then we're, this fucking season's starting. I know we're not quite there, but who are we feeling like? Let's do some early, maybe somewhat predictions. Or should we wait? Should we wait until like right beforehand and be like, to wait for our predictions?
Should we watch like real testing?
Let's wait.
And yeah, let's wait. Although the McLaren and the Ferrari,
they're looking really good. They're looking really good.
McLaren, Ferrari,
Mercedes,
obviously the Red Bull and Mercedes. I'm hoping that it's just a big fucking mix up of everyone.
And I want to say that I'm going to try to get wet for Lando. I'm going to try to get a little more wet for Lando this year.
Yes. Prince baby Lando.
Because I think it's so funny because I feel like everyone's like still jizzing over Daniel Ricciardo and like how fun and carefree he is. I'm like, yeah, but Lando actually doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Daniel Ricciardo's like, Daniel Ricciardo, he has this, like everyone's like laughing at how funny his helmet is. Like, oh, his helmet, it's guac, and then his feet are chips. Isn't that funny? I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't win anymore. he lost to his teammate. Yeah, he won one race, but he lost to his teammate. You know?
So I was like, That's not funny.
Also, you're trying to win.
It's just like
That is not like you're just basically admitting you're not going to win the driver's championship
right.
When you have a fucking guacamole helmet and a fucking nacho chips as your boots. Like that's not, you've kind of admitted in some way that you're not winning.
No, you've zagged to like, I'm the comedian. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm giving you.
Right. Yeah. You're the fat, funny friend of F1. You're not the main character. You're the fat, funny friend.
And as the fat, funny friend on a television show, I know one when I see one. And yeah, Daniel Ricciardo might weigh 95 pounds, but in this context, he's the fat, funny friend of F1.
But what's funny is he took a picture of Lando where Lando's like fully just taking a nap.
Yeah, I saw.
Right.
Like Daniel Ricciardo tries really hard to be carefree, whereas like Lando just doesn't give a fuck.
Right. Right.
Like Lando just doesn't give a fuck. Lando's just like, I'm tired. Lando's like, I need my 12 hours of sleep.
Yeah, because he's the fucking got the raw talent, let's be honest.
Can I read a tweet from him? Can I read a tweet from Lando? Maybe I'll do it in an accent.
Yeah.
So this is what he tweeted after the first day when he was P1. Productive day, but annoyed I'm P1. Now you gonna think we fast and way overhype us. Omegalol. I don't know how to. It's Omegalul, which I'm guessing is Omegalol, like oh my god, lol, but in Gen Z. So just FYI.
But at the end of the day, he has all the apathy and like coolness of a Gen Z kid, but like none of the. Like social activism. he's got like the worst of like
right.
He's got all the worst qualities of youth, but none of the good qualities.
And I fucking love him. And I love that kid.
Oh, I love him. I love him. Anyway, but I mean at the end of the day, I mean Hamilton got the fastest time of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Russell got second fastest. Mm-hmm. So I mean it anyway.
One day McLaren, one day Ferrari, one day tried and true Lewis Ham. But yeah.
And please remember, the times are meaningless unless they're meaningful to you.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, Vankas.
Goodbye, Vankas.
Auf Wiedersehen, Vankas.
Until next time, we support Ukraine.